All right, would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? So as I mentioned, this is kind of a continuation of last week when we talked about out with the old, in with the new. We talked about new calendars, new slate, new way of doing things, new way of looking at things, and just coming through the Christmas season. That's why we're talking about all things becoming new. For the most part, we like new things, don't we? We like new clothes, we like new computers, we like new iPhones, we like new iPads, we like new things. But sometimes old things are actually better. Old shoes are more comfortable usually than new shoes. An old pair of jeans is a lot more fun to put on than a new pair sometimes. Old cars are collectible. Old watches can really be cool. There's that whole antique thing that goes on. But those of us who like old things, like many of the new things too, I love to have, indoor plumbing. I love to have carpet on the floor. I love to have electricity. I love having, a furnace that works and power steering and a clothes dryer and washer at the house and all of that. God's provided us some very incredible, precious, wonderful new things to those who trust Him in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at this chapter, several verses in this chapter. We're going to start out with verse 17, which says this, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Has that happened in your life? The old life is gone. A new life has begun. In the King James, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and that doesn't just mean male, it means if any person be in Christ, then they're a new creature, a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Has that happened in your life? Has there been a defining mark when all of a sudden your whole life changed, your whole future changed, your whole way of doing things, your whole way of thinking about things dramatically changed? How does this happen? How in the world does it happen? I remember one time Nicodemus, a very learned individual, a scholar, a religious scholar, came to Jesus under cloak of night because he didn't want the other Jews to know he was hanging around with that rebel. And he asked him, he said, how does someone get born a second time? Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, in John chapter 3, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I used to have this barber who was a Jehovah's Witness. And we would get into it. And I'm telling you what, he'd cut and cut and cut. And the more we'd get into it, the more he'd cut. I'd come out there sometimes looking like Chaplain Bradshaw. I'm telling you, he just got, and so one day, and I never could get him pinned down. It just seemed like, we were bouncing around. And so one day it dawned on me, and he was talking about the kingdom, and he didn't care about heaven, and he didn't care about all, Jesus on the cross. But he's talking about the kingdom, and I said, you know what? You can't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. He stopped cutting my hair right then, went over and got his Bible and began reading it. I walked out of there with half a haircut. Had to pay him the whole price, but I walked out with half a haircut. You've got to be born again. You can't even see the kingdom of God, Jesus said. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How does that happen? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Of course not. And can he be born that way? Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly I say unto you, except a man be born of water, even of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. How many of you have been born of the flesh? Let me see your hands. I'm not sure about the rest of you. That's the physical birth, the way most of us got here. Maybe you came from another planet. Not sure about that. But we're born. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Ava is born of the flesh. She was born a physical birth. But that's not all that we need to have. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So marvel not, Jesus said, that I say unto you, you must be born again. There's a saying, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Born once, you die twice. Born twice, you die one time. Because when you get saved, you have eternal life from that moment on. He that believes has everlasting life. She that believes has everlasting life. It happens at a particular point in time, just like our first birth happened. How many of you know what date, what hour, what minute you were born? How many of you know that? Okay, a couple of you. I know the day. I don't know the hour. I've looked at it. I'm sure I've seen it. How many of you heard the story right here in San Diego where twins were born on January the 31st, one of them born in the last minute or two of 2015, and the poor little boy, the girl was born first, you know, of course, he was being a gentleman, letting her out first, and then he was born in the opening moments of 2016. You have twins who were born within minutes of each other, and not only is the date different, the year is different. There was a point. Why did they do that? Because there was a point in time that they pronounced them born and alive, and this is their time. So the same thing happens, folks, spiritually with us. You were not a Christian because you've always been a Christian. I've heard that so many times. I've asked people, when did you become a Christian? And someone say, oh, I've always been a Christian. No, you haven't always been a Christian. There had to be a point in time that you turned your life over to Christ. You surrendered your life to the Lord. You believed and accepted what Jesus Christ did for you. You were not born a Christian. You didn't become a Christian over a period of time. Though there may have been a process that led up to it, there had to be a point in time when you said, I believe, I trust him. So don't be confused with the new birth with your baptism, because that's not the same thing. Don't be confused with confirmation, because it's not the same thing. Don't be confused with church membership being when you got saved, because it's not the same thing. Salvation is when you put your faith and trust completely in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. So that's the new birth. We had that point last week. We'll probably have that point next week, because we talk about a lot about the new birth. Second thing here is a new attitude. Verses 18 and 19 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And all things are of God. Let me see. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You say, oh, I wonder what my ministry is. Well, I can tell you what one of your ministries is supposed to be. Reconciliation. Look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's why he came to this earth, was to reconnect God with his creature, human beings, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And in verse 20, it talks about being reconciled to God. So several times in three or four verses, it talks about reconciliation. And so I'm going to propose to you that 2016 is a time for a new attitude because of reconciliation. There was a song back in the 60s that said, breaking up is hard to do. Well, for too many of us, making up is even harder. And I don't know, our pride gets into it, our feelings get hurt. And if you've experienced that, and you've been angry at someone, or mad at someone, or hurt by someone, and you haven't wanted to make up with them, but you knew that communion was coming around this Sunday, and doggone it, I can't take communion and feel this way toward my brother or my sister in Christ. I guess I just got to get right with God. Oh man, what a bummer! That's part of the reason for communion. Is so that we reconcile when we need to reconcile. Husbands and wives, you want to learn the secret. We got a couple here who have been married 48 years. Man, that's a tremendous testimony. You want to be married 48 years, you learn how to reconcile. Because life happens. Things happen. Marriages can get off track. Individuals can get off track. And they can have problems. And they can mess up. And they can fail. And they can fall. But you learn to reconcile. You learn to make up again. And 2016 is a time. There's nothing magic about 2016, but it could be a time in your brain when you flip that switch and you just say, all these little petty aggravations and disappointments and all these problems I've had with people, that's the end of it. I'm just drawing a big dark line. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to accept. I'm going to embrace. I'm going to love unconditionally. I'm going to put down my hurt feelings, and I'm going to do it all for the glory of God. Galatians 5:22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, and he gives a list. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. There is no law against such things. So it's time to have a new attitude. Third thing is this. a new purpose. Verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Do you understand that people in this world live for themselves? Do you understand a lot of the advertisement is geared toward, you know, you deserve it. You deserve a break today. So go have some cholesterol. You deserve it. You've earned it. You catch those little phrases? Anytime they have those in ads, I catch those. You deserve it. You know what we deserve? Hell. That's what we deserve because we're sinners. Any blessings we get, all good and perfect gifts come from God above, the Bible says. They're blessings. They're not because we earned it and we deserved it. They're because God is good and God chooses to bless us. And we need to live not for ourselves. Instead, Paul said, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. No longer live for ourselves. No longer feed the flesh. No longer make ourselves number one. We live unto Him. Our purpose is to glorify God by producing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And by being fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, why are we no longer our own? Because you've been bought and paid for. By whom? By whom? By Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price. He paid for you, not with dollars, not with yen, not with pesos. He paid for you with His life, with His precious blood. So have a new purpose. Live for God. Live for others. Okay, there's that acrostic. Joy. You want to have joy in your life? Jesus, others, yourself last. Jesus, others, yourself. That will give you joy. By the way, when you live for yourself, how much does it take to satisfy you? Just a little bit more. Hey, they project now a $1.3 billion Powerball. You say, preacher, did you get your tickets? No. I heard the chances of winning Powerball were roughly equivalent to me winning the Miss America contest. Right. I'm thinking that's not going to happen. And I'm thinking it's wrong to do that anyway. That's what I'm thinking. Now, here's what I always tell people. I don't think it's right to gamble, go spend your money and you know, on Powerball. I don't think it's right. But if you do and if you win, you better tithe. Amen? Amen? Don't compound your sin, all right? So if you win, you say, would you take the devil's money? I'll take anybody's money into the church, and we'll convert it and make it holy and put it in God's treasury, okay? So absolutely, don't do that. Where was I on this thing? Yeah, we're bought with a price, glorify God. Okay, so I lost that point completely. Now, number four, a new walk. A new walk. Oh, how much does it take to satisfy us? You know what? It's never. You win $1.3 billion, you wouldn't be satisfied if you're looking for things to satisfy you. But if you're looking for Christ to satisfy you, He'll do it. A new walk. Verse 7. Verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Our new walk is by faith, not by sight. That's hard. It is hard. How many of you... you guys are too young. How many of you saw The Last Crusade, Indiana Jones? Indiana who? Yeah, okay, good. We got a few people, all right? The rest of you newbies, you need to watch it. And how many remember the scene where he's got this huge chasm to cross, and he's looking for the Holy Grail, right? And it's on the other side, and there are no bridges that you can see. And so he's got to walk, and whatever this little mantra is that he's going by says, you've got to step out by faith. And so, I mean, he's going back and forth like, I can't do it. Look, I'm going to die. I'm going to plunge down. And so finally he kind of, if I remember correctly, he kind of closes his eyes and takes, and he puts his foot out, and there's something there that he doesn't see. And he takes another step, and another step. And you know what? Pretty soon he's walked across that chasm. Yeah, you know what? That first step is tough. First step is tough. And invitations, you know, when we say, you know, here's your chance to come and to receive Christ, or to join the church, or get baptized, or to come and have prayer, or whatever. And it's like, oh man, they'll see me. They'll wonder what I'm doing. Yeah, you know, Christians sitting out there will say, boy, I wonder if they're getting saved. How weird is that? No, they'll be glad. They'll say, praise the Lord. Good. I've been praying for him. I've been praying for her. That first step is tough. You gotta step out. And it doesn't look like there's anything there, but I promise you, God is there. He'll take care of you as long as you're walking the walk that God wants you to walk. So he closes his eyes and he steps out. 2016, a new walk for you. Walk a whole different way than you walked before. If you weren't walking for God, especially, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Fifth thing is a new desire. Verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 5, so whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. Whether we're in the body or out of the body. Folks, if you're out of the body, adios, it's been nice. Whether in the body or out of the body, our goal is to please him. Because why? We are accepted in him. So let's labor. Here's the thing. He totally accepts us, unconditionally accepts us. He totally loves us, unconditionally loves us. And we can't earn his acceptance or earn his love. But let's live our lives trying hard to please God. Not that that'll earn us more love or more, you know, respect from him or whatever, but to try to please him because he's done so much for us, a whole new desire. So our question to ourselves ought to be, what will this do, whatever it is that you're contemplating or thinking about in 2016, how will this glorify God? How will this help me in my walk with the Lord? We are accepted, a new desire. Number 6, a new occupation. In verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who represents another country. He becomes the formal representation in that. So we have ambassadors from Mexico, ambassadors from Canada, ambassadors from England, ambassadors from France. We have ambassadors who come to the United States from all kinds of different countries representing their company, their country. And so we are to be ambassadors for Christ. We are to represent another country. Guess what? We have dual citizenship. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. You remember singing that song? We're ambassadors for Christ. We represent the sovereign of a whole nother nature. And we need to do everything we can to tell others about that so they too can become ambassadors for Christ. You know what's amazing to me? How many know of Penn and Teller? Magicians, Penn and Teller? They have a television program. Well, the guy who talks is Penn, I think, right? And he's an atheist. He's a big-time atheist. But I got a quote from him that'll blow your socks off if you've never heard it before. Because he had a guy who he met one time at shows. I guess they go out and they talk to people before the shows and so on. And this guy was witnessing to him about Jesus Christ. And later on, he somehow got a Bible to Penn. And so someone was asking him, you know, was that offensive to you? And here's what Penn said as a result of that. He said, if you really love someone and really believe there's a hell, you have to tell them. That from an atheist. Pretty good preaching. You got some friends that are going to hell and you haven't told them because you're afraid of offending them? You got some family that are on their way to hell and you haven't shared Christ with them because you're afraid of running them off? Where are you going to run them off to? There is no hell number 2. There is no hell number 3. There is eternal hell, separation from God that one day will be emptied into the lake of fire. If we really love people, we'll tell them. If you really love someone and see their house is on fire, you let them know. Number seven, not only a new occupation in verse six, but in point number six, but in point number seven, a new home. And this started out, actually, the whole chapter, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Yesterday morning, a preacher friend of mine pastored up in Brea, California. Been there, what, Pat, 20-some years, 25, 30 years. Faithfully preaching the Word of God in Brea. Got on a plane in Florida. And before he could get home, he went into eternity. He passed away on the plane. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. Today he has a new body. He has a whole new home in which to dwell. Again, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. How about you? Do you have a home in the heavenlies? Chuck, if they hadn't have got that artery cleared out and if it had been a little bit worse, yeah, you got to be ready, right? You don't ever know. Do you have that new home? The one you have now is temporary. The one you have now is getting older. The one you have now has defects. The one you have now one day will quit. The one we have is temporary. The one we can have is eternal. Three short life-changing prayers for the new year. First one is this: I surrender all. And if you say that, you're saying, I want to stop running from God. If you read Tim Lee's testimony track, he talks about having run from God for many years. And in third tour in Vietnam, within just a couple of weeks of when he was going to go home, he stepped on a landmine and lost both legs. Almost lost his life. Came really close. They didn't think he was going to make it. And he says that's the day when he stepped on that landmine and he lost his legs. That's the day he quit running from God. Paul said this way, I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So giving up is the beginning of blessing. I surrender all. Second thing is this, teach me to pray. I want us to learn, if we don't know how, I want us to learn how to pray this year. I want us to learn how to spend time in God's presence. And basically to say to God, I want to experience you, Lord. You know what? We can talk. Most of us can talk to our best friends. We can talk to our husband, our wife. We can talk to people at work. We can talk to customers. We can talk to whoever. We say we have trouble talking with God. Prayer is just talking to God. Just talk to Him. When you're driving, when you lay down at night, when you get up in the morning, tell God good morning. You ever done that? In the morning when you wake up, just say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for a good night's rest. Thank you for getting me through the night. It came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So I surrender all. Teach me to pray. And the third thing is this, use me today. Lord, use me today. For whosoever shall save his life will lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Inviting Christ into your day every morning before you leave the house. Lord, whatever we got planned today, it's subject to your approval. And if what we have planned isn't what you had, hey, we were supposed to go to Hawaii Tuesday. We're not going to go this Tuesday because of Pat's brace and so on. But guess what? That's God had other plans. Are you mad about that? Nope. Not at all. Because we've served God together for 46 plus years. God's never let us down yet. Not one time. His plan's always better than our plans. Did you know that? His plan's always better than our plans. So welcome to a new year of new beginnings, 2016. Next week, Chaplain Bradshaw, and then Tim Lee on the 24th. So God's got some great things in store for all of us. Let's find them. Let's be what God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do in 2016. Would you mind bowing your heads with me? Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful, so thankful for the blessings you've showered upon us. You've poured them out freely. We don't deserve a single thing good because we're sinners. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, may this be a time of new birth for people in this room and new attitudes for all of us, new purpose, new walk, new desire, new occupation, and maybe even providing for a new home in which we'll dwell for eternity, one that's made not with human hands, but created and fashioned by you for each one of us as we trust you. God, may your will be done, we pray. We ask it in the name that's above every name, the name of Christ, our Savior.